Yo, this is BJ Gador with the BJ Gador Podcast, and today's episode is called Strictly Flexible Eating. Because sometimes flexible eating is simply too flexible. Now, for those that are new to the show, I'm the former fitness director for the men's health brand. I'm also the author of Your Body is Your Barbell, the definitive guide to body weight training, available on Amazon, plus my brand new book, The Ultimate Push-Up Guide, also available as a Kindle or paperback on Amazon. Grow your chest at home and master the ultimate bodyweight exercise, the push-up, today. Getting great reviews on that, five-star reviews, great feedback on that new book. Be sure to check it out. Great anytime, anywhere resource. Now, before I get into today's show, can you speak? I want to talk a little bit about a couple things. Number one, if you give a five-star rating and review to this show, it is your most simple and effective way to show Uncle Baby Biscuits some love, all right? It's usually we're giving you about an hour of our time in each episode. It takes a second to just click that five-star, whether you're on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. But here's what I want to do to encourage you to take the time to do it. Again, we have several thousand listeners. The reviews aren't matching up. So you can make your five-star rating, and then in the review, it gets maybe a sentence on what you like about the show. I'm not asking you to write a novella, but what I am asking you to do is, if you give a five-star rating and then a brief review, and then ask a question that you want me to talk about on the podcast, I'll be checking these out on both iTunes and Spotify. So, you can ask a question, and I'll try to answer it on the show, or maybe I'll just have a specific show designed for those questions. You can also make an episode request. Again, no guarantees. I can't guarantee I'll cover a topic, but I will certainly put it under future consideration for upcoming episodes. So again, if you could just take the time, it means a lot. Five-star rating and review. Make it brief. I don't want you to take it too much of your busy time, all right? But then just ask me a question as well so I can mix that into the podcast and your review. And then I can also entertain some episode requests. If you want to do both a question and a request, feel free to do so. I will start looking at those now, and then we'll try to incorporate them into the show. But I wanted to give you some more incentive to take the time to do the review. It really helps us spread the word, all right? The next thing, I'm obviously covering this flexible eating topic today, but I want to give you, if you're newer to the show or you've only started with the later episodes, check out these four episodes, okay? Episode 173, The Simple Shred Diet. It's like 10 quick tips. Doesn't involve like a huge overhaul to your daily plan or schedule, but can yield some great results in terms of shredding body fat quickly, all right? It's one of our more popular episodes. Also, episode 172, Summer Cheat Meals. Just, cleaning things up for the summer, It is shirtless season. And you still want to have some fun with food and frivolity, but why not tighten up those cheat meals a bit? You can still be flexible, but maybe a little bit more strict. That's the whole strictly flexible eating topic today. Episode 158, Carb Cycling 101. If you've ever heard about it, it just means, high versus low carb days or high, medium, low, different ways to set it up, but it's just a smart way to structure your weekly, monthly schedule, so you can enjoy those sweets and treats, okay, but in moderation, but also supporting your goals and learning how to kind of, what type of day is more suited towards burning fat, what day is more suited towards building muscle, and how your carbohydrate intake can support those goals and incorporate flexibility. And then finally, episode 58, Cracking the Cheat Meal Code. I'm a big, big fan of the cheat meal, if you haven't noticed. But it can really sabotage your results, especially if you have, if you've got like a real appetite, a type of appetite where like you can be prone to binge eating. You've got to have some discipline with how you approach it. And you've got to have a way in which over time you can systematically, progressively, gradually improve that meal or day, however you structure it, so that it isn't sabotaging a full week's worth of effort. It's supporting your goals. It's not putting you back to ground zero or zero sum game. All right. So those are four really great episodes to kind of check in on, maybe re-listen, or if you haven't listened to, check them out at some point on your own here. So the final thing I'll say, if you're looking for an amazing 28-day kind of jumpstart or shred program, check out my 28-day post-holiday shred. It's an integrated rapid fat loss training and nutrition plan. There's also a diet-only option as well. You just want to get my nutritional approach. But the full program comes with the instructional and follow-along workouts to support the plan. It's a really excellent plan. We ran it at the beginning of in February, actually, right after the Super Bowl of 2023. And every year we're going to run that. We just keep improving it. But it's an excellent plan. This is one, if you're listening at the day of recording, you can get in great shape by August, you know, and take advantage of the last couple months of summer in the best shape of your life, or if you need that type of push. And to encourage you to do so, I've got, and I'll put in the show notes too, my pod listeners only get 28% off with the coupon code 28PHSPOD. Again, 28PHSPOD. PHS is post-holiday shred. I'll pop that coupon code in. The product's available at thedailybeach.com. I'll give you a direct link. And again, you can get 20% off, 28% off for my podcast listeners only, whether you want to do the diet and exercise plan or just the diet only, it can help you with that as well. So those are the kind of housekeeping notes. I want you to get ready for this one. Okay, this is a good one. I haven't talked about diet specifically in a while, so I wanted to jump in. This has been on my mind a lot lately because, you know, typically as the summer approaches, you know, we have a fashion line, sleeves sold separately, and, you know, we do a lot of more shirtless content, you know, whether it's at the beach or outside in the backyard or just, you know, in general to try to, you know, sell our short shorts, our swimsuits, just our overall athletic apparel. I like to look my best. I feel like it helps me sell clothing. And so I've also got personally, I've got a nice little vacation with my wife coming up 14 days in the Malibu area, one of our favorite places in the world. Not the right place to live until you retire. You will get no work done, trust me. But a great place for us, especially now in August in particular, when, you know, the desert heat really takes its toll. We can kind of get away to some cooler temperatures, that beautiful Mediterranean climate. But, you know, I'm going to be on the beach a lot, doing a lot of activities. I want to look my best. You know, I like that. I think a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Just, you know, because when I'm not locked in, or if I'm just doing flexible eating and it's not strictly flexible, I'm not fully confident in my physique and how I feel. You know, I got a couple extra things to pinch around the love handle, low ab area. I don't like it, you know, and I'm 40 years old and I want to keep pushing the envelope, keep sharpening my nutritional sword, so to speak. And, you know, as I'm getting older too, it's interesting. You know, I've talked about some of the few benefits of getting older. You know, one of them is I just can't do the damage I used to do on these flexible eating days when I was younger. You know, like it's not difficult for me to do 5 to 10,000 plus calories in a day. I mean, but now I get some acid reflux, or I'm kind of like getting to the point now where it's like, okay, you gotta make the decision. I know you love to eat, but maybe this is something that you have to just curb a little bit, because I don't want to get in the habit of having to try to out-exercise my diet. Can't do it. I don't want to do too much exercise, because too much exercise increases hunger. And then you get on this cycle of, you know, you can't win in that cycle. You got to find the right amount of exercise so you stimulate metabolism without overly stimulating hunger. And you've got to make it work for your schedule. You can't get in this, you know, overtraining, overeating, undereating. You know, it's a bad cycle. And by the way, I did a nice little podcast as well on just my lifelong battle with, you know, binge eating and overall kind of eating disorder, so to speak. This fitness job or career track, especially if you do get involved in, you know, making transformations, or, you know, it is body focused. You can't really do much about that in some cases. You can get caught in that trap. And I've battled it a long time, especially, you know, growing up overweight and battling those issues. So that's another good one to check out. And that one was recent. I can't remember the exact episode. But, you know, ultimately, at the time of recording this, you know, we're ending on June here, and I'm just tightening things up so that in our early August vacation, I want to look my best, and then I want to really kind of, every year I just try to, I kind of run this same cycle every year, but I try to improve it with my wisdom and experience, and also, again, I get more disciplined, and I just feel like I'm at this turning point now, especially with, like, if I just tighten up my diet a little bit more, it's just so transformative at the particular stage I'm in my career, where I am with my body, my overall fitness. It really could just do big things for our marketing, our reach, you know, and it feeds itself, right? When you get sluggish or you don't feel like doing stuff with your shirt off, like you don't film as much, you don't have as much energy. Again, like maybe only content creators can relate, but I talk about this because, again, like this is what I do, and it's a constant fine-tuning process. Now, on the internet, they describe flexible eating or flexible dieting, a popular and simple weight loss plan that allows foods that fit within your specific daily macronutrient targets. You have a right or set amount of fat, protein, carbohydrate, and basically what that means is you can whatever totals those add up to, it's whatever foods you want that fit into that. And I'll talk about the pros and cons of that coming up. This way of eating provides dieters freedom in their food choices, which may help keep weight off over time and create a positive and healthy relationship with food. But, and there's a big but there, right? So that's the whole, and again, shout out to Dr. John Berardi of Precision Nutrition, one of the all-time nutrition greats. He calls it dietary displacement. What that means is, let's say you can have 100 grams of protein per day. Again, I'm not saying that's the right amount. I'm just giving an example here. But you want to make that whatever you want it to be, or just has to fit the macros, right? So that protein could be complete sources of protein, whether it be plant or animal. It could be clean. It could be lower fat. Like it could be, you know, really quality plant protein. It could be powder. It could be omega-3 eggs. It could be a lean cut of beef, you know, or it could be ribs, you know. So that could be really, again, ribs are fine in moderation, but you can't be having, you know, racks of ribs every day. It's really a higher fat protein source that, I mean, it's going to dramatically increase the calorie output or how much protein you get per calorie, which is, you know, that's not going to help anybody's weight loss goals. Or you could say from a carb standpoint, you got 100 carbs to play with. Now that could be a baked potato with some organic sour cream you could add on top, or that could be fries, you know, with bad vegetable oils cooked in there. And that's going to be a completely different response, but maybe you're only having to hit the goal there. You know, and again, it's there's overall caloric goals in there too, right? It's not just your macros, but you know, again, what I'm trying to get at is you could go with a 100 calorie snack pack, which is all fake foods, or it's a piece of fruit. Which one is going to give you more nutritional value? Which one is conducive to a healthy lifestyle, right? And that's where, again, and beyond that, like tracking macros, I think tracking can be helpful for certain brains. I've never been a huge fan of it. I like to kind of set things up with a structure where you can have success. There is built-in progression either way, whether you want to increase things or decrease things based on your goal, without having to be obsessive about your intake and tracking. And honestly, like I go more portion sizes. All right. And by the way, in the PHS we have that comes with it, and you can get this at Precision Nutrition, just like a portion guide, you know, using like your hand, you know, it's a thumb of fat. It's a palm of protein. It's a fist of carbohydrate as a way to kind of start tracking things that way versus like overly measuring things out and counting. Again, that can lead to a negative relationship with food. It can give you some short-term success, but if you don't have a plan to kind of phase out of that, you're now stuck in this like very rigid position where you'll start to hate the process and you'll get overwhelmed. You'll quit. You'll go back to your old habits, right? We're trying to create good habits and a winning streak here, not just short-term success and then setback. So, you know, that is the thing. You've got to make sure that if you are going on a macronutrient type of setup where, okay, I'm going to give myself 200 grams of protein a day, 100 grams of carbs, 100 grams of fat, just make sure that you're not hitting those goals with shitty foods. you can still see some weight loss results from a health standpoint. You've got to always remember that, you know, quality matters. Quantity, yes, you get your calories down, you're going to lose weight, but how much of that is going to be fat versus muscle, right? And again, these are the things that, you know, that's a separate podcast really, but, you know, ultimately, these are the pitfalls with flexible eating. And honestly, too, I don't think you can be disciplined enough to make this a lifestyle or have maximize your success if you're going to kind of go the route of, look, everyone's different, but I'm not a fan of like daily flexibility in the sense that I feel like it's like dying by a thousand paper cuts for a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? It also requires more tracking because people always underestimate how much they eat and overestimate how much they move or exercise. So, you know, the example I'll give with this is, you know, in the post-holiday shred, I give people 200 calories at night to play with, you know, and that could be two pieces of fruit in the healthiest option, or that could be the a serving of ice cream that you measure that fits that, all right? Obviously, one is healthier than the other, but, you know, that's an example where like, okay, we're just going to block out 200 calories that you do whatever you want with daily. That's fine. But, I mean, flexibility kind of throughout the day, again, it's like dying by a thousand paper cuts. I don't like that. I don't feel like it disciplines people enough with what they put in their mouth. Now, if you can find success in doing that, feel free to do so. But that's why I apply the strictly title to it. You have to plan and schedule and commit, just like you do with your job, with your workouts, with your relationships, your appointments in general. And I break this down into focused versus flexible days. Focused days mean that you eat as perfectly as possible with little to no deviation from your meal plan. You are locked in. These are purely winning days. Now, if you make mistakes, you don't quit or abandon the plan, but sometimes when you have this flexible mindset, all right, you keep the door open. You got to close that door. Because if you keep the door open and you get in a bad or a tough social situation or you're stressed out, and stress is what really triggers bad habits in general, but particularly with food. You know, whether it's comfort or emotional eating, or it's just like I've got to just stress eating in general. You know, you've got to close the door. Otherwise, shit just gets too flexible. This is my experience. You may have a different experience, but I think most of you listening agree. Okay, you've got to check yourself. And when you go into a day, this is a focused day. Nothing gets in the way of that. I'm not saying you have to be obsessive compulsive about it. That's not good either, or perfectionist. But you just can't allow, man, the flexible mindset's dangerous. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now. Like, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for someone like me with all this experience, all this built-in accountability to what I do. I've got to have a real focus as well. And what does a flexible day mean? It means you stick with your protein and produce foundation. That's the foundation of how I eat, what I recommend to eat. But you can add a few indulgences in moderation. Just be sure to add all indulgences to your food log for tracking and accountability purposes. You know, we originally had, when I first got into fitness, I created this nutrition system that I even trademarked called Eternal Eating, you know, meaning, you know, habits of eating that last a lifetime. And one thing we did on the whether it's a cheat day or a flexible day, whatever you want to call it, you know, sometimes cheat can have a negative connotation with it. I called it a nutritional saddlebag, meaning anything you ate that was off the limits of the plan, you put into the saddlebag, meaning like it also like it saddlebag in the sense that those things tend to contribute to the things you don't want on your body. And that's really all you needed to track because, you know, you look at it, okay, I had two bags of chips, three desserts, you know, a whole pizza. And then instead of changing what you eat during the week, which tends to be locked in, like, you know, your healthy protein and produce meals, well, let me just cut some of this stuff in half. Maybe turn that pizza into thin crust pizza, or make it half the pizza. Or it's one dessert instead of three. Or it's just a single bag of chips, you know. So these are the things that I recommend tracking-wise, because it's easy to track. It gives you, like, immediate, like, okay, this is where I went wrong. You know. This is outside of the plan. This is my flexibility. Focus on keeping the fine tuning of the flexibility. Okay, that's really the key. So whether you call it a nutritional saddlebag or whatever else, you can just kind of put that in there. But one thing too, the flexible day has a focused foundation, meaning, you know, it's not a free-for-all. We've all had those free-for-all days. You can get away with them when you're younger. You can get away with them if you're super lean and are coming off of, you know, a extended block of time, 2 to 4+ weeks of just like being so locked in with your diet that, like, honestly, you've been so active, you've been so disciplined with your diet, like you can really get away with like almost whatever you want for sometimes even a couple days. But again, that's beyond most people listening. You know, you most people don't have that in their genetic makeup. They don't have the metabolic engine, and they don't have the time to do the amount of activity required to get into that type of state. You know, and even then, I've talked about this before, where I've gained 35 pounds in 5 days following a bodybuilding show when I was in the best shape of my life, but then went on this insane binge eating for a couple days. So, you know, but the flexible day still, again, like, for example, you know, I'll still have my midday shake. Even though I'm going to have some stuff later, you could say, well, don't have the shake to make room, make more room for calories that can be played with later in the day when you're having your cheat meal, whatever you want to call it. But honestly, that also gets into the whole dietary displacement, right? I want to make sure that in that midday shake I have, and I'm mostly on this like midday shake and then a big protein and produce meal at night plan. That's what works for me. The simplicity of it, also just the insane cost of food now, and we don't have as much time to meal plan or prep with how much work we do. So it's just a way that shake is just concentrated nutrition. I get all of my essential fats, omega-3s. I get a big dose of fiber, and I typically get that through my chia seeds that I just throw into the shake. I get my right amount of protein. I get probiotics in there. I have a little bit of fruit that I get in there. Again, basically, I'm just getting a concentrated dose of all the nutrition I need. I'll throw some collagen in there. And, you know, the fruit I have has vitamin C in it to help with the absorption of the collagen. So it's just such a concentrated burst of nutrition that I know I've at least got my bases covered, and I'm sticking with my normal routine. It's not a total abandonment of my daily routine. Now, I'm going to deviate later in the day, but at least I've started with that. And that's an example. Again, I've got a focused foundation. And even then, at my flexibility later, I do want to make sure I get some protein. Maybe it's a salad for the produce side of things. I just want to make sure that I'm not eating just pure junk carbs and nothing else, or just fake fats. Now, it can't be a meal based entirely on fake fats and junk carbs. Got to still get some protein and produce in. It'll make it so there's less room for the fake fats and the junk carbs, because it'll fill you up more. But, you know, that is basically how I like to break it down. I found that this gives you a good mentality to make flexible eating something that can actually work long-term into your lifestyle. In the beginning, any changes you make will result in a change, right? But again, I just don't think strictly flexible eating, all right? You just have to have it. It's just too easy for the human mind to deviate to comfort and to choose the easy options or the instant gratification. So I'm just a big fan of that. Now, how do you build this into your plan? Now, one thing that I built in, this is something that I've created, and it's part of the post-holiday shred, is, you know, you set up based on number of days per week that are focused versus flexible. So, you know, if you've never eaten well, or you're newer, you want to jumpstart, beginner trying to get back into it, this is a 4-week progression I've used with great success. And what we do is we assign a number of days each week that are either focused or flexible, and there's a progression, just like with your weights, you know, going heavier, making it harder. We have that built into this. So in week one, it's a 4-3 split. 4 focus days, 3 flexible days. Now, someone that is doing 7 days a week, whatever they want, this will be a shock to the body. Like, you don't need to go. That's the thing, is people think they got to go from 0 to 100, and you will shock your system and you will quit. There's just no way. I mean, there's just no way your body's going to handle that in most cases. It's too much of a shock to the system. The body prefers homeostasis, and it's very, aware of when you change anything, how much you sleep, how many calories you take in, how many calories you're burning, or how much you're moving. It's constantly tracking this stuff because what it wants to do is it wants to remain the same weight because it's stressful on your body to change weight up or down. So you've got to have a mindset of what this looks like. You've got to schedule this and plan it out. I consider it like the way I would, you know, you're doing 3 or 4 workouts a week, upper, lower, core, whatever, you know, or 3 full body. You plan it out and you schedule it, and you got to have these focused and flexible days on the map. Now, typically that can look like Monday through Thursday are your focus days, then that gives you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to be flexible. Now, that, by the way, this is like just a great plan in general for a lot of people who just, you know, they just want to be healthy. There's no big body composition goals, meaning they're not trying to get shredded. They're not trying to, you know, really push the genetic ceiling for their muscle building and strength potential. They just want to be healthy. They don't want to be sloppy, right? But even then, this can get sloppy for some people. But it's all about where you're starting. So if you're 7 days a week doing whatever the fuck you want, and you shift to having 4 focus days of protein and produce, but locked in, and maybe you give yourself 200 calories a night to play with, but you stick to that 200 calorie allotment, and then 3 flexible days, that's a great place to start. You'll see progress with this. And then in week 2, it's 5-2. 5 focused, 2 flexible. So we add a day of focus, we remove a day of flexibility. Without having to really count or track anything and get bogged down in the numbers, that's going to create a dramatic shift in the way your body's going to respond. It really will. Like, I mean, I notice in each of these splits, going 4-3 to 5-2 to 6-1 to 7-0, I mean, my body responds instantly to it. You know, especially if you are active and you've got a good base in placement, there's instant responses to this. And, you know, again, I have it outlined as a weekly progression in a 4-week block here as kind of a jumpstart. People like to do things 30 days or less. I get that. But you could also, this could be monthly too. Month 1, 4-3, month 2, 5-2. So you could take as much time as you want with this. And I'll talk about as well how I've customized this based on my goal, schedule, etc. Right? So, I mean, again, 4-3 split doesn't mean it has to be exactly Monday through Thursday, because maybe you have a Tuesday's a big work event and you know you're going to have some drinks and you know you're going to be at a place where the food isn't what you want. Well, maybe you take one of those days, you put it on Tuesday. Okay, but over the course of the 7 days, you are committing to 4 of them being flexible, 3 of them 4 of them being focused, 3 of them being flexible. It just puts you in a situation where every week, more days are focused, less days are flexible. Great place to start. And then we add a day of focus, we take a day away of flexibility. That 5-2, then it goes 6-1 in week 3. This is tough. Like 5-2, I think, is a good place to be for most people, like kind of throughout the year, because it's tough to only have 1 day of flexibility, you know? And then you sometimes, if you're not disciplined enough with this, or you don't have enough experience with it, you get caught in the scarcity of it too much. And then you're more likely to binge or get in as much as possible because you know tomorrow isn't available to you. Whereas sometimes having 2 days allows you to spread it out a bit more so you don't overwhelm your digestive system or just, you know, kind of lose control as much. Again, there's a lot of, you got to be willing to make the mistakes here. It's not going to be perfect. I've been working on this for decades. All right. But 6-1 is tough. 7-0, I mean, that's not even something that I have worked in a very, very long time because it's just not necessary. And I mean, that would be a situation, an extreme situation where you're just perfect, but it might be a nice test. And it's certainly a nice way to finish off the 4th week of a 1-month jumpstart plan just to show yourself, okay, I can go 7 days, but I don't have to do this all the time, but I'm capable of it. It also makes you appreciate the flexibility of like going from 7-0 perfect to 6-1, 1 day of flexibility. It just gives, it desensitizes you to the previous step where you're like, oh, this isn't as bad as 7 days, 0 flexible. All right. And then from the standpoint of, let's say goal, this isn't just a 4-week type of approach that I've outlined and that I've created for myself and my clients. 4-3 is basically to me like any time of year that I want more calories for I'm really pushing the strength and muscle gain side. I don't like to call it bulking because I don't like that. I never want to get more than 5 or 10 pounds above my ideal body weight because it just, it's too hard to come back from, especially as you get older. It's too stressful. And, you know, I just look at it as, oh, that's my, I'm opening things up a bit. I am, but I'm also going to use the calories. I'm not just going to sit on the calories. I'm going to be active and I'm going to really push things out. And it, if anything, could be a kind of a metabolic break, if you will, get the calories up, reset. But that's great for, let's say it's a holiday week. All right. You know, but you're still having those four focus days. So whether it's basically a higher calorie muscle gain split. It's also a, you know, a couple times a year, you give yourself a week like this where, you know, just have some fun, you know, enjoy life. That gives you like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, like you can really live it up on the weekend. But again, you have some checks in place. It's a slippery slope. You don't want to be going on the whole, like, it's very easy. I've been there. You take a 10 to 14 day trip, you come back 10 to 14 pounds heavier. All right. So vacations as well, you've got to have some checks in place. And that means especially avoiding things earlier in the week, right? You fuck up on Monday, people tend to just abandon the whole plan. They'll start back next week, whether it's diet or exercise, missing a workout, having a bad meal. So that 4-3 split, again, I like it for holidays. I like it for, you know, I wouldn't run that unless your metabolism is insane and you're kind of more of an ectomorph where you're naturally skinny. That's also, maybe that's the plan that can help an ectomorph gain some, a hard gainer gain some size. But if you are, like, that's rare for most people. Most people don't have trouble gaining weight. And if you're that person, 4-3 might make a lot of sense to jumpstart some mass gain and some growth. But everyone else, I would reserve that for like special times of year, a vacation, you know, and holidays, you know, let's say winter break, spring break. And it's a place you can go. And especially if you are on more of a 5-2-6-1 most of the year, you won't, you know, you might smooth out a little bit, but it's something you can rebound from quick. Now the 5-2 split, I think this is, it's the easiest one in my mind that also allows you to kind of reach your goal, because that extra day of flexibility on a too regular of a basis is going to make it difficult for you to achieve your goals, especially if you want to be lean, you know? And I've been on 4-3 a little bit too much this year, you know, starting on Thursday and then Friday slips into Saturday a bit. It's getting more and more difficult for me to overcome that. And with 5-2, I know I can have a little bit on one day, but not have to overdo it too much because I get a little bit more the next day. And then more often than not, I tend to make better choices on the second day anyway, you know, because I've got in my some ways a fill from it. And I, you know, you wake up sometimes feeling not as, maybe a little more lethargic or just a little too watery or Michelin man-like, and you just want to make better choices that day. But it takes away some of the scarcity that can happen on a 6-1, but you're still giving yourself 2 days. So to me that, and by the way, this is also great. One of the classic splits I've ran on this is low-carb weekdays and then high-carb weekends. And that could be Friday, Saturday. That can also be Saturday, Sunday with the 5-2 split where I do my toughest, more muscle gain focused workouts on the days of flexibility. So I'm putting that fuel to practice and I'm having to earn the ability to get flexible through putting in the workout. You know, it's important because, you know, when you do high intensity training, you are depleting muscle glycogen or the stored sugar in your muscles and liver, and that'll make your body more receptive to a spike of carbohydrates. So it's more likely to be put towards filling the muscles and liver back up and promoting recovery than it is to being stored as fat within limits. And again, I'm not trying to make it seem like you can't out eat a bad diet and it can take you an hour to burn 1,000 calories. You can get 1,000 calories in within 5 minutes or less. These are just facts. So again, at the same time, right? I don't like having flexibility on days I'm not doing anything, because I'm not going to be managing the blood sugar as well. I'm going to get sluggish. Sitting on calories is not good for your body composition. It's not. You know, you at least got to do some walking or some play. But So 5-2 is one of those, like, you'll focus on burning fat during the week and then building muscle on the weekend. And that's what kind of a body recomposition approach, meaning you can kind of maintain the same body weight, but slowly be adding muscle and losing body fat so that you look better and better and you're more and more fit at the same body weight. So I like that 5-2 approach for that. 6-1, six focus days, one flexible. Now that's, you're pretty fucking locked in, you know, and that's how I am right now as I lead up to my vacation. I'm not going to go 7-0. That's too stressful for me right now, and I don't think it's necessary. But I'm going to go 6-1, and I think it's also important where you put that day. Because, again, you put that day too early in the week. If I put it on Thursday, for example, sometimes I can just get a little bit loose on Friday and Saturday because of that. But if I put it on Saturday and then Sunday, you know, it's just kind of a natural reset day for us. You know, I'm going to be more likely to be more productive during my work week. And, you know, it just seems to work out putting that day late in the week as possible. It really does. Like, there's something about it. If it goes on Thursday or Friday, it can open the door a bit to, you know, actually, it can also, like, make you more sluggish on the weekends, so you don't move as much. So you've got to go through the trial and error with this yourself and figure out which day you put your flexible day or your flexible days. And it has to work perfectly for your schedule. I've got a unique remote working schedule. Everything we do is from home for the business. I train at home. I go to the gym once a week maybe, but it's mainly everything I do is at home. So in particular, I've got to be very locked in with my schedule and making sure that it's supporting what we're trying to do for the business and my body. They kind of fit hand in hand. But the 6-1 is also like, that is, if I'm trying to burn fat, like I just said, if I'm trying to get to my leanest without being overly dogmatic or rigid or perfect, which is not possible. It is possible, but typically not without, you know, going the other way at the end of that. I've been 16 plus weeks perfect before. And at the end of that, I've got nothing left. And I tend to go the opposite way. It's not good for your mental health, in my opinion. And certainly not good for your physical health because your body swings too much. Really, it's about avoiding swing. So again, you want to lose some weight, don't go 7-0. Don't even go 6-1. Maybe not even 5-2. The 4-3 is a great way to start. And then we just keep adding a day of focus and taking away a day of flexibility. You can kind of boil the frog. You can give just enough of a stressor to create the ability or the need for your body to adapt without shocking the system and having your body fight you back. You can't beat what your body does from a hormonal standpoint, the way it wants to trick you into doing things that it wants it to do. You can't fight that. It's going to increase your cortisol levels to the point where all you do is crave sugar. And you're going to make instant gratification versus delayed gratification choices, all right? And you're looking for a quick hit of dopamine. You know, you've got to trick your body. And that's why this phased approach is so great. So I'm going to go more 6-1 now. I'm going to put that one day on Saturday. And then what I'm also doing too is it's important to have some built-in accountability. I'm filming on, actually, yeah, so if I'm doing it on Saturday, I'll film Saturday morning shirtless. I'll have my flexibility in the afternoon. And then the next day too, I'm going to film instructional content. I may not be shirtless, but I don't want to feel like so watery. And sometimes you wake up and like, I just feel like shit and I can't really make good videos. So it just gives me a little bit like, don't overdo it because I've got something important I need to do tomorrow. And by the way, you know, if you're not filming, this could be, you know, maybe you have a big workout or you're doing some workouts or activities with other people. Maybe you are doing something shirtless and that's the accountability you need right now to not lose control. Or you've got a big day of work or maybe work around the house or in the yard. And if anything, that's just, again, I like my highest, at least not highest, but you should have high activity days bookending the flexibility, all right? So that you're staying in motion. Again, it's going to be better for your insulin, your blood sugar, and you don't want to sit on a surge of calories in most cases. It's not good for your body. It's not going to support your goals. but, you know, or maybe it's an early wake up, which means that you're less likely to eat too late into the day. Because if you eat too late in the day, when you go to bed with a full stomach, you can get acid reflux, other gastrointestinal issues. You won't have a really good sleep. So building in the accountability to these flexible days is also important. But I just ran this last week, and I'm like, yeah, this, and I immediately noticed changes in my body. My midsection just instantly tightens up, and this is something that I'm going to run until a vacation. Now, when I go on vacation, I'll likely go back to a 5-2 or maybe even a 4-3 split. And that can be, especially as I'm continuing to train and be active as I will. I'm going to be outside a lot, walking places, fucking around in the water, in the ocean, on the beach, doing my regular workouts. But it's kind of a maintenance mode for me. 5-2, I can definitely maintain on. Even 4-3, I can maintain, especially if I'm active. And again, if you're doing things with your shirt off, you're doing things that are, you're very active, you know, you're not going to be as likely to, you almost kind of want to support that. You don't want to be feeling like all fluffy and gross. You don't want to be shitting your brains out in the ocean or at the beach, right? So an active lifestyle tends to feed more focused eating, even when you're flexible. So, you know, this is just an approach. This is how I look at things. If you got a vacation coming up, you know, start making room for that flexibility by being tighter now and being disciplined at home in your normal work schedule. So again, I'm sharing this too, because I just think this is the most fucking genius thing ever created. I'm sorry. Especially for someone like me who does not like to overly count. I've never really counted calories or tracked things that way. I'll use measuring cups occasionally and stuff like that, but I'm more of a, you know, portion size type person, you know, again, using my hand. And I don't want this to take over my life, but I also need a way in which I can adjust things if I want to build more muscle, burn more fat, go from work to vacation mode, but not lose control, and then have a way I can go right back from vacation to work mode. This is how I've made it a lifestyle, but it's a strictly flexible eating approach. Like I when I commit to this, I commit to it. You know, I feel like flexible eating, you can get caught in the trap of, you know, that one chip becomes the whole bag because you're flexible. And you've got to have limits in place, and you've got to build an accountability to the schedule. You've got to make the schedule fit your exact work schedule and or training schedule. And that's what I'll do. And then occasionally, if I really need to push myself, or I got a big photo shoot or something like that, maybe I'll try it and go 7-0 and just really push the pace and find out, you know, I'm trying. That's when you're trying to take yourself to a level that, you know, no one wants to rest at. You know, if I'm trying to push below 8% body fat, something like that. And even then, I'll work in some fat loading, carb cycling type approaches in there too. That, by the way, I outline in the advanced diet that's part of the post-holiday shred I've talked about. So we've talked about number of days of the week. Now let's talk about how much of the day is flexible. And this is where, you know, again, like I look at the number of days a week as kind of a macro approach. And then how much of the day is flexible as the micro. You don't have to get into the micro or the minutia until you've worked the macro to the point where, okay, now I've gotten pretty far but now I'm stuck. So now we got to look at this. And I don't do full days of flexibility anymore. I've been there where you start, like you've been perfect all week, Monday through Friday. You wake up Saturday morning and it's orange juice, pancakes, right away to start the day. And the whole fucking day, your blood sugar is out of control. And you just go nonstop eating, hourly, just losing control. By midday, you're already just like stuffed, but you can't stop. I don't like it. I like to fast till midday most days. It just, for me, it's a way, I always like to backload my calories. I tend to get more work done and just be more focused when I'm fasted. And again, I also know myself, eating too early in the day tends to throw me off. And again, can just add to a slippery slope where that one day I can eat multiple days worth of calories. And that's not good. That's going to offset the week. So, but occasionally, maybe it's Thanksgiving. Maybe it's, but again, I talked about, you know, Your flexible days should retain, I would say, ideally 80% of the structure of your focus days, right? Start the day how you normally would. You know, if you're like me, right? I'll have coffee, water, my Athletic Greens, AG1. By the way, you can get 5 free travel packs and 1 year supply of vitamin D through my code, which I have link in show notes, to AG1 or Athletic Greens, which is more than just a greens powder. It's the only nutritional supplement I take right now on a regular basis besides some protein supplementation. It's almost like a multivitamin plus 8 to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables, probiotics for digestive health, 75 whole food ingredients. So that's the supplement that I recommend the most and the only one I really take daily. And you can use our link and get those gifts. So check that out. But, you know, I'll have my AG1 right away. Lately, the schedule I've been on, I wake up, I'll take my AG1 with a big glass of water, and then I'll start making the coffee. And then while the coffee's being made, I'll jump into the pool and just do 10 minutes in the pool. Just a variety of mobility, cardio drills in the pool, just getting kind of a metabolic boost for me. I wake up tight like most people, but especially at 40. So just getting my hips open, my shoulders open, and then just, you know, waking up my metabolism a bit. And it just gives me energy to start my day even before I have my coffee, which obviously is a big stimulant. But I'm kind of using that kind of approach, and then I'll do all my, you know, most important work, podcasts, do my social stuff, you know, maybe send out a newsletter, do some writing. And then before my midday walk, I do my kind of mobility routine. I'll walk, do some inversion when I come back, and then I'll have my shake. And then I'll often take a 20-minute nap just to kind of power me, because I don't want to get in. I was used to having to get through the afternoons with coffee and caffeine, and now a quick 20-minute nap, just closing my eyes and laying down, and just it could be a meditation even. It doesn't have to be full sleep, but closing my eyes and doing that right after my midday shake, I can power through the afternoon and make it to then doing my afternoon workout before dinner. And then, you know, we get into that recovery mode, pre-bed routine. That's the schedule that I rock when I am like locked in. It tends to be like 6 to 6. I wake up at 6, and by 6, you know, we're watching TV and starting the process where we'll start to slowly get ready for bed and be in bed at latest at 9 so that I can fall asleep at 10 and get at least 8 hours. So, you know, that's what a focus day looks like, a flexible day. I want to retain most of that. You know, and so what I mean in terms of how much of the day is flexible, I think for most people, you can try a full day. I'm just telling you, it's not going to work out, or just save that for a very, very special fucking occasion. But usually, like, noon should be kind of a marker for yourself. It doesn't start till afternoon. So it's kind of a half day. And then how would you progress that? You would turn that from afternoon to evening, meaning maybe it's 4 p.m. is where you would start to have some flexibility, and you would want to cut that off with a 2 to 3 hour pre-bed cutoff, right? So again, that it's not going to affect your sleep, because if it affects your sleep, it means it's going to affect the next day, which will affect the next day, which could affect the whole upcoming week. That's where this stuff has to be looked at. You don't want that. You've got to stay committed to the focused routine. So, you go basically from full day to just afternoon only / half day or evening, meaning now it's like around 4 p.m. or senior dinner time, if you will, which is my favorite time to do it, because it gives me plenty of time to digest. If you wait too late in the day, then you'll have trouble getting to bed and it'll get off your sleep schedule. So I'm a big fan of the flexibility starting when I'm really locked in at around, 2 to 4 p.m. is a nice little shot. All right. So most of the day is behind you, and there's only, especially if you're eating so focused on a regular basis, you're part of the fasting lifestyle, your stomach shrinks, you can't take in as much. You get full a lot faster and you need more time to digest, especially if you're taking in more food than you're used to. But even then, I'll break my fast with the shake, good healthy shake. Then I'll go to the grocery store and get the stuff. Like that's important. Like you can't stock your fridge and cupboards with your chips and your treats and stuff like that, your ice creams, if you don't have control of your emotions when it comes to food, or you stress eat. You don't want that in the house, and you only get it right when it's about to happen. Sometimes you get it the night before, and then all of a sudden, it's that night before, and you walk through the kitchen, and you see those chips. And they come a-calling, and you can't do much about it. So I will typically have my shake, which I can digest easy in 1 to 2 hours. That's part of why I like to have that midday shake. It's easy on my digestive system. I don't have to, like, I don't get sluggish. And but anyway, I get that in, and then while I'm going to get our food, maybe I go grab our thin crust pizza, a couple bags of Boulder Canyon potato chips with avocado oil, you know, maybe some granola, some fruit, and then, you know, that's I bring it back to the house. And then, but I only get that, like, even like sometimes I'll go and I'll get 3 or 4 bags of chips. I'll get through one of these bags, and then I can go into the second one. I don't want to have it in the house. So I have limits on what I'm buying and bringing into the house too. So there's a focus to my flexibility. There's a strictness to my flexibility that I need at this stage of my life and career to look my best at 40 plus. So you go full day to afternoon, half day to evening. And then eventually, if you really want to dial things in, it's the evening meal. And then it's kind of an hour or less, right? So it means you can eat, take 20 minutes to see how that felt, still hungry, eat again, then take another 20 minutes. And if you still needed something else, maybe a couple more things come in. But it's difficult to do too much damage within 1 hour, especially if you are coming in with a focused discipline, because you just can't take in too much. You'll get sick. You don't want to get sick. You know, your body will reject it, which is good. That's good. That means your body is healthy. It's rejecting too much food or the wrong amount of food. That means that you are a part of a discipline. But that's how you fine tune it. So you set the number of days first and you find what that looks like. And then within the day of flexibility or the days, right? Like, that's one thing too. You can't be running in most cases multiple days of flexibility full day. That's impossible. Maybe you can do it as an evening meal. So I've done vacations very successfully where I said, okay, I'm going to fast as long to the day as I can, like pure fast. Maybe I'll have a midday protein shake, and maybe it's just protein only, just to keep the calories as low as possible and just get my metabolism something, and just, you know, but to also get my muscles some protein. And then at the evening meal, I kind of do whatever I want. And the evening meal is typically like between 4 and 6. Well, I mean, I can, in that case, I could have like a 3,000 calorie meal, but have been active most of the day. And I could still lose some fat on that plan. I could. I mean, especially if I'm getting some activity. Because, you know, my base or resting metabolic rate is probably between like 2,000 and 2,500 calories in that range. I don't know the exact amount. But that means no matter what I do, I'm going to burn that amount of calories. And if I got about 500 to 1,000 calories of activity, that 3,000 calorie meal would put me at maintenance. Right? So, you know, that's an example of, and if I ran that the whole week, I've done that before. But again, that requires a lot of discipline and practice, you know, but that's an option as well. Like, if I made the amount of flexibility on the day so tight and confined, and I backloaded my calories to such a degree that even a 3,000 calorie meal could put me at maintenance or even a caloric deficit, I could run that plan on vacation. I won't run it on a regular basis, but that could be a nice vacation plan too. But it's going to be very difficult for most people to go multiple days of flexibility, 5-2 or 4-3, and it to be a full day of flexibility or even an afternoon. In most cases, it'll probably be best suited as an evening start, you know, 2 to 4 p.m. earliest, and then a cutoff time of likely around 6, no later than 8, right? Because it's going to be tough to get to bed by 10 if you're taking in too much food. All right, so this is, again, strictly flexible has the mindset of, okay, I'm staying with my 80% protein and produce foundation. I'm backloading the calories as much as possible to avoid the slippery slope. And I'm also making sure it's not so backloaded late in the day that it's going to affect my sleep, which will affect the next day. All right, so this is the mindset that I recommend you looking at things at. So just to tighten that up one more time to remind you, how much of the day is flexible? We had a 4-phase progression with number of days a week going from 4-3 to 5-2 to 6-1 to 7-0 of focus versus flexible eating. And then in terms of how much of the day, you go from full day, don't recommend it. That's a special occasion, maybe a birthday, okay? Or you're so lean and you've been locked in and this is just a party day, whatever. But in most cases, it's going to go to afternoon or half day, then to evening, maybe a 2 to 4 p.m. start time, or just evening meal, which is typically 1 hour or less. And especially if it's at a restaurant, you're not bringing anything back with you. You leave it there. If you're cooking at home, just only make the portions you need. Because again, I grew up in a home where you always finish the plate. You don't waste food. So it's not even just scarcity sometimes. It's just like you don't want to be that person that's throwing out quality food. And there's people out there fucking starving. It's disrespectful to the planet. But, you know, or immediately freeze it. Put it in portions and save it for the next flexibility period in the following week. But you keep it around, you'll be more likely to nosh later in the night before bed, and that can get you off track as well. So I wanted to jump in. You know, this is a great time of year to talk about this because, you know, people are doing things more active outside, you know, swimsuits, you know, less clothing, right? Scantily clad. But summer's also a great time to have, you know, I don't drink personally, but people like to have those summery drinks, margaritas, pina coladas. And then, you know, people are vacationing and they're going to places where there's really good eating and restaurants. I hope to just kind of share these strategies with you. They really help. And again, you want to get like this full system with simple-ass meals, shakes, smoothies, salads, easy-to-make protein and produce meals that are like 6 ingredients or less. You know, you don't have to be a chef to work this system, but then also get the workouts that come with it. It's the 28-day post-holiday shred. Use the coupon code 28PHSPOD. I'll put it in the show notes to get 28% off the plan, whether you choose the diet and exercise or diet only. Link to that is thedailybj.com, also in show notes. So be sure to check that out. Be sure to check out the Ultimate Push-Up Guide, available as a Kindle or paperback on Amazon. $10 is the Kindle, $20 is the paperback. We have people more often than not choosing paperback over the ebook, digital, which is interesting, and a lot of people getting both for the multiple references there. And like I said, too, if you just take the time right now, take that index finger and then touch the 5-star. And while you're there, just give maybe even a sentence. It could be a couple words. BJ Podcast, good. And then post a question that you want me to answer on a future podcast and or make a podcast episode request that I will consider. No guarantees, but I will be reading these. And then that's a way I can incentivize you to take the time to take the second to even 5-star. I'm appreciated. If you can just take a minute to 5-star brief review of what you like about the show, and then ask me a question for consideration on an episode or even make a podcast request, please. It would help us spread the word. You know, I'm trying to put a lot of time and effort into this, and I can only do it through you. So I have to keep asking. I hate asking, but I do need your help. It's the only way we can grow this. So that's about it. Lots of great episodes are coming. Be sure to check out those past episodes. Episode 173, The Simple Shred Diet. Episode 172, Summer Cheat Meals. Episode 158, Carb Cycling 101. And episode 58, Cracking the Cheat Meal Code. But, you know, flexible eating has definitely become a pop culture thing within the last couple of years. But I want you to be weary of too much flexibility. And that's why, again, I think the strictly flexible eating is probably what it should be called, to make it more of a lifestyle approach, and also to just get over the plateaus that the average person will hit with just a flexible eating approach. The plateau will come quickly, all right? And this is a phase progression that I've used with great success. And again, it allows me to customize not just as a jump start, but whether I want to be more in a fat loss versus muscle gain mode, or whether I'm in work mode versus vacation mode. So I hope this helps, guys. Love you guys. Peace.